And now, Dick Tracy!
This is Dick Tracy on the case of the Honorable Mr. Malice. Stand by for action. Let's go, men. Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order.
Did you Tracy fans ever happen to wonder what laws our country lived under during the Revolutionary War? From your history, you'll remember that the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776, but it wasn't until 1787, 11 years later, that our present Constitution was ratified. But what was done in the years in between? Well, actually, soon after the colonists declared that they were independent of all foreign rule, a committee began work on a Constitution. They called it the Articles of Confederation. Well, a little over a year after the signing of the Declaration of Independence on November 15th, 1777, exactly 170 years ago tomorrow, these Articles of Confederation were submitted to the states for ratification. This was our first Constitution. But very wisely, our nation's first leaders decided to improve on that first body of laws. They believed that those laws wouldn't stand the test of time. So, using the Articles of Confederation as a base, they wrote a new Constitution, the one we're living under today. But remember, the success of our present Constitution is due in a large extent to the Articles of Confederation, the anniversary of whose adoption will be observed tomorrow. And now, Dick Tracy. Dick Tracy and Pat Patton, in a hasty trip to the state capitol, have unearthed the first important link in the chain of evidence that they hope will send the Honorable Benton Malice to the electric chair. This accomplished, they made plans to return to Northern Valley aboard the Super Streamer, a train which is also carrying the noted South American statesman, Dr. Trabajo Polapas. It is this latter fact that has aroused the interest of the Honorable Benton Malice as he broods in the secret tower room of his castle overlooking Northern Valley.
Charlie, has it occurred to you what a blow to international cooperation it would be if something were to happen to that South American peacemonger, Dr. Trabajo Polapas?
It has indeed, sir.
Let's see now. He'll be on the Super Streamer, which is due to enter Northern Valley at 9:43 tonight. It is now 7:22.
That doesn't leave us too much time, sir. I guess I'd better get ready to leave.
You're not going anywhere, Curly.
I'm not, sir.
No. This is to be my party.
But, sir, I thought that...
Yes, Curly. You thought what?
I'm sorry, sir. I'm afraid I forgot myself.
I'm afraid you did. In fact, you've been increasingly impertinent lately, venturing your opinion on the slightest provocation.
I shall try to watch myself, sir.
You should. What possible interest to me is the opinion of a common servant?
None at all, sir.
All right, now, listen closely. I told you that I was going to punish you for your last failure. And part of that punishment is not to allow you to be present at one of the greatest railroad wrecks of all time.
A hard punishment, sir. But completely justified.
Of course. I'm nothing if not just. McCauley, according to this timetable, the West Junction local should be heading up the valley at about the same time that the Super Streamer is heading south.
But that's another passenger train, sir.
I'm aware of that. Any objections?
None at all, sir. I was just thinking that the slaughter will be terrific when the Super Streamer plows head-on into that string of dilapidated old cars that they still use in the local service.
Yes, but slaughter of whom, Carly? You know what kind of people are always packed into the West Branch local.
That's true, sir. I had forgotten.
Well, I hadn't. I'd be doing Northern Valley a distinct service to wipe out the whole lot of them.
Yes, sir.
Ordinary people are like sheep, Carly. Somebody always has to lead them. They're completely helpless when they try to think for themselves.
Yes, sir.
And they'll think a little more clearly when they wake up in the morning and discover that hundreds of so-called Americans died in the same wreck with the esteemed Dr. Trabajo Polapas. Well, we have work to do. Important work.
Yes, sir.
As I said, I'm going to do this alone. The generator and the rest of the equipment has been transferred to the station wagon.
But mightn't you be recognized in it, sir?
I'll smear the license plates with mud. Anyone gets too nosy, I'll shoot first and investigate later.
Good, sir.
And now we come to your part in this plan.
My part, sir?
Yes, I want you to stay in this tower room till the wreck has been accomplished. Don't leave it for any reason whatsoever.
I won't, sir.
Bring the big telescope up here. Keep a steady watch on the valley. If by any chance the local is late, contact me by radio. Let me know that the wreck cannot be arranged.
I shall, sir.
Under no other conditions, use the radio. I have a feeling that others have been listening in on our wavelengths.
Yes, sir.
I'll be listening on the small handset. If I hear no message, I'll assume that the local's on time and the plans can be carried out.
I see, sir.
If the local's late, send the single word no. I will verify receipt of your message by simply saying check. Now, is that clear?
Quite, sir.
And remember, It's of the utmost importance that you stay here in this tower room. Your further punishment will depend on the success which we meet with in tonight's experiment.
Well, Pat, how do you like it?
When the railroad gave us permission to ride the locomotive of the super steamer, I was delirious with joy. Now I'm just delirious.
What's the matter, Pat? I thought you enjoyed the ride we had in the freight locomotive.
I did, but I keep thinking what happened to it. I also thought that train was going fast, but it was going in reverse alongside this one. I keep expecting us to take off like a guided missile.
Oh, Patrick, you're getting soft. According to that speedometer, we're only going 110.
Only, he says.
You've gone that fast in the police car many a time.
Sure, but you can stop a police car in something less than a mile. And you can also steer it away from danger. At least some drivers can keep a car from rolling down every railroad embankment they come to.
Now, don't get bitter, Pat. I only went through the fence to see if you could take it.
The only thing that bothers me is how long can I keep on taking it?
That's the first sign of old age.
Richard, you're talking through your hat. I just want to live long enough to arrive at old age. And barreling down the tracks at 110 in something you can't turn to right or left, and you can't stop in less than a mile, doesn't seem like the best way to do it.
Well, at least you can be thankful that this isn't a freight train. The honorable gentleman down in Northern Valley has so far left passenger trains alone.
Well, I still don't like it. There isn't the friendly, easygoing spirit that there was on the freight train.
They don't pick engineers for these super speed jobs just for their conversational abilities.
No, I can believe that. I don't even think this one knows how to talk.
You just talked to him about the wrong subject, Pat. Watch. Say, could I ask you a question?
Yep.
Those colored lights you have in that panel in front of you. There seems to be more than in the last train I rode on.
Yep.
Do they give you information on more signal blocks ahead than the average train?
Yep.
Well, how many sections ahead does it give you information on?
Four.
Instead of the regular two. Is that because this train goes so fast, it takes longer to stop it?
Yep.
Well, thanks a lot. That was very interesting.
It is to me. I hope I didn't bore you.
Bore us?
Yep. I get enthusiastic sometimes. I don't know when to stop talking.
Oh, well, Pat here has the same trouble, Mr. What'd you say your name was?
Real name's too long. Just call me Gabby, like everyone else does.
Gabby, indeed. There isn't a straight man in the house.
Huh?
Nothing at all.
When you got nothing to say, don't say it. Good philosophy, sonny.
I guess that should hold you for a while, Pat.
Yep.
I've said the same thing to you many a time. Only not nearly so neatly.
You're all just picking on me because I have a broken arm. If I had the use of my good left arm, I'd show that Gabby character a thing or two about philosophy.
Of that I have no doubt. But it's just as well you can, considering there are several hundred passengers dependent on this Gabby character to get them to their destinations in safety. So relax, Pat, and think of the fun we're going to have when we get back to Northern Valley.
Oh, hello, Don. Oh, your mother said she didn't think you should keep Ginger. But why not? She's a swell little dog. Oh, I see. She howls and whines when you put her in the cellar. Well, she's lonely. Look, keep her in your room tonight, and I'll come down and see about her in the morning. Maybe I can find her another home. Okay, Don. Good night.
Transmitter. Nobody hold on. along here. Up these stone steps. The tower room. I'll bet it's in the tower room. That door is locked. No harm in... There's a light showing under the door. In fact, the door's standing a little open. Knock first. Right over there, and there's a telescope train right down on the railroad tracks. Get some evidence and get out of here. Got to hurry. Huh. What are all these clippings and papers? All about the railroad wrecks and the United Nations. Why, this is proof. The best kind of proof. What's that?
Who's there?
It's only I, Master Stephen. Did you find anything interesting?
In a moment, we'll return to Dick Tracy. But first, the Northwest Mounted Police. Just four words, but words that immediately bring to mind the wonderful sagas of adventure that thrill all of us. And it's with Sergeant Preston, typical of these heroes who always get their man, the challenge of the Yukon is concerned. Challenge of the Yukon is an exciting program heard every Saturday night over most of these ABC stations against the background of the vast Alaskan wilderness in which the Klondike gold rush of the 90s took place. Sergeant Preston pursues his duties of maintaining law and order among prospectors and adventurers. And assisting Preston in his exciting duties is King, his big Eskimo lead dog. During the unfolding of these colorful tales of the gold country, you'll not only learn the characteristics of King, a husky, but from time to time, other dogs, collies, wolfhounds, Danes, and mongrels, are also brought into the story, thereby showing traits peculiar to their breeds. Yes, Challenge of the Yukon appeals to dog lovers as well as to folks who go for wildlife stories and dramas of adventure. So for a complete half hour, listen to Challenge of the Yukon, Saturday night. And now, back to Dick Tracy.
Hey, Dick, aren't we just about entering Northern Valley?
Yes, but relax, Pat. As long as we're not on a freight train, we've got nothing to worry about.
Yes, nothing to worry about. Nothing except certain death at the hands of the Honorable Benton Malice. Better be sure to tune in Monday for the adventures of Dick Tracy, heard overseas through the Armed Forces Radio Service. And this is George Gunn speaking. Starting tomorrow, the Metropolitan Opera will begin its annual season of Saturday afternoon broadcasts over most of these ABC stations. And that means, from the operatic stage of New York's famous Metropolitan Opera House, you'll enjoy celebrated artists singing in the great musical tradition of grand opera. Renowned stars like Lily Pons, Helen Traubel, Lauritz Melchior, Ezio Pinza, Robert Merrill, and Licia Albanese. And, as in the past, Milton Cross will be on hand every week to tell you the story of each opera. Don't miss the Metropolitan Opera, Saturday afternoons, starting, of course, tomorrow, over most of these same ABC stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.